Today on Real Radio.
He's just gawking into the tomb. And we know from the Greek word there that it was without anything registering in his head. It was just a blank sheet up there. Wow. Wow, what? I don't know. Just wow. That's John. Peter comes flying down the path, unable to stop being a big fisherman probably, goes right through John and into the tomb. Peter's now a Jew, by the way, inside of a tomb. That is a shuckaroo.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John and his sub-series on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The greatest event of all human time. An event that if people would consider it, would change their lives forever. Hear that again. An event that if people would consider it, would change their lives forever. But many people will not consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They will fight it. They will resist it. They will go against it. It is a hallmark of man's existence that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, an undeniable fact. This week, I was reading in the Arco volume, the archaeological writings of the Talmudic Jews, and a collection of letters and notes written by Pilate to Caesar, from Herod to Caesar, back and forth, as a great Roman tribunal was called after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Rome looked into those accounts of what on earth had gone wrong. How could this man have been stolen from the grave or somehow revived from the grave? How is it somehow that the Jews, many of them who believed, said he was resurrected from the grave? How can this be? And there's a great inquiry recorded. The original volume of this book was unearthed in Constantinople and then transferred in about the year 600 to the Vatican Library in Rome. You can get a copy of that. The archaeological writings of the Talmudic Jews. Very interesting reading. Why? Because it speaks about a host of non-believing people, I say the Roman Empire, and many of the Jewish leadership trying to explain away the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's where you're faced this morning, to either receive the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead, or you're going to have to fight for the rest of your days to try to explain it away. The great thing is those who have embraced Christ have come to understand that it is a fact, and our faith, oh, I love to say what I'm about to say. I get all excited. Our faith is founded upon fact. Well, I don't want to make that blind leap of faith. Then, if you don't want to make that blind leap of faith, do not believe in evolution then. Truly, that's a great amount of faith. If you want to have your faith founded upon fact, my friend, become a Christian today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ we saw last time was beyond human assent. Unless God touches our hearts that we might take in the facts and understand what clearly is before us, it's beyond human assent. It was an unexpected event. Remember, they were not expecting him to be risen from the grave. They came early in the morning with their embalming spices, that is, the followers of Christ. They didn't expect him to be gone. We learned also that it was an unbelievable event to them. They couldn't believe it, which rules out, as we mentioned, the conspiracy theory. They didn't believe that he had been risen from the dead. Why would they then try to perpetrate a conspiracy when in fact they went to the tomb not even believing that he would be gone in the morning on that great Sunday? And then we saw in verses 3 through 6 that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is beyond human experience. It's the greatest event that has ever happened in human history. But it affects us personally. It affected John and others and Peter and all of the followers in a very personal way. We saw that it was a display of amazing love. Love that had been acted out in their lives in that they went running to the tomb to see if, in fact, what in the world was going on. Love brought John and Peter and Mary and the host of them to that tomb. They ran to that tomb. And remember the sequence, how Mary stood outside the tomb. She's weeping. She never goes in. Remember that? And then John comes in as he inserts, having outrun Peter. And he just peeps into the tomb, does not enter into the tomb, but is in fact just looking in. And in dumbfounded amazement, he's just gawking into the tomb. And we know from the Greek word there that it was without anything registering in his head. It was just a blank sheet up there. Wow. Wow, what? I don't know. Just wow. That's John. Peter comes flying down the path, unable to stop being a big fisherman probably, goes right through John and into the tomb. Peter's now a Jew, by the way, inside of a tomb. That is a shockeroo. And he's standing there, and the Greek word there used for Peter to see what had gone on, he's taking it all in. He's analyzing it. And in these approaches to the tomb are various personalities of people. Mary's outside weeping, John's peeking, and Peter's in there taking it in. John sees what's going on. He hears Mary weeping. He sees Peter inside, and John says, that's it. And he goes in, and he sees what the others have seen now. What Peter sees, what John sees, is that the wrappings of the clothing are lying there in the form of Jesus' body, but the head wrapping, a separate bit of wrapping, is folded neatly off to the side. Beyond human experience, wondrous things, marvelous works, the resurrection of Christ. Our third point last week was this, that it's beyond human hope. So what do you mean beyond human hope? In our human capacity of life, of things, we learn from John chapter 20 that as humans we hope. Oh, I hope I get an A on that exam before Christmas break. You can hope all you want, the end is not secure. But for the Christian, when we say we hope, it is a hope that is firm. It's a hope that is sure. It's not a, oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. The Christian hope is, I hope in Christ and Him alone. It means He's going to do what He said He would do. We know about the past. We know what He's doing in our lives now. We are fully persuaded, as Paul put it. We are absolutely convinced that what Christ has said, He will do. And so we have hope. We have hope. We have peace. That brings joy into our lives, joy that nobody can steal away, joy that nobody can take. You know, I heard this week yet another interview of the two girls that were there in the Taliban camps and controlled, the two Christian girls, Heather and Dana. And they're talking there, and they're saying, you know what? It was amazing. They treated us very well. One Taliban guy came up and said, listen, I'll see to it personally that nothing happens to you girls. You girls are my sisters. And they thought, really? Well, that's weird. She said this guy, or they said this guy was very gentle and compassionate. As they went on to describe this guy, he had such wonderful attributes. I'm wondering if, like what Peter said, we need to be careful who we talk to and how we talk to them. For many of us, says the Bible, have entertained angels without even being aware of it. Yes, that's right. Can you imagine a little angel wrapped up with a Taliban thing on? Comes in there, you know, his wing. Hey, I'll make sure you guys are okay. I mean, who's to say? It could have happened. Amazing. Amazing, wondrous works. Marvelous things. Amazing love. Beyond human hope. When all else fails, how would you have I felt locked up in that Taliban fortress? Would we have panicked? Would we have caved in? Naturally, yeah, we sit here this morning and say, I would have caved in, I would have panicked. And we probably would if this is all we knew. But if we were there in God's presence, because have you ever been in a difficult situation as a believer? Does not God's presence show up like never before experienced in your life? Man, have you been in a crisis? When seemingly all hope is gone, God shows up. No, I don't mean you could see him. I don't mean that you can touch him. It's bigger than that. Amazing, wonderful hope, a greater hope, a hope that is beyond human doubt. We saw in verse 8, it says, then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. That's John. When John goes back into the tomb, or I should say John's first entrance into the tomb, after peering in, he sees all that is there and comes to believe in Christ, which produces a great faith. The Bible says in verses 9 through 10, a great hope and a great faith, for as yet they did not know the scripture, the Old Testament scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own homes. And that verse, scripture reference that John is talking about is in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10. It was then that they understood, oh my goodness, it's the 16th Psalm that those grave cloths proclaimed. He's the Messiah. They came to believe. And so we look at our study this morning. Point number 4, a resurrection of Jesus Christ is beyond human comprehension. How so? Pick it up now, verse 11 with me. It says, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the end of the feet and the other one at the head where Jesus had been laying. Then she said, the angel said to her, verse 13, woman, why are you weeping? Can you mark that in your Bible? Just underline that. Why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. This is Mary Magdalene, once possessed by 7 demons, the Bible tells us. She's now been delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. She's there weeping. There's 2 angels, one at the head and one at the feet. Remember last time? Remember in our teaching? The symbol of the ark. The mercy seat laid out there before on the ark. The angels on both ends of the ark. Same again. The angels on either end of that tomb. Jesus now having been risen from the dead. What lays there behind literally is the grave cloths of Christ. But he's not there. And they say to her, why are you weeping? You guys, in the Greek, it's awesome. The word implies this. Why are you weeping when you should be rejoicing? That's what it means. Why are you crying when you should be smiling? Funniest thing. I got a free pass yesterday. My family, we went to Disneyland. And I underline free pass. Because it's not the happiest place on earth if you've got to pay to get in. So we're in there, we're having a great time, and this mom was, she had her kids, and they're walking along, and this cute little girl, her daughter, she's there, and she has got a face, and then her lip comes out, and she's, and the mother goes, Rebecca, lose the face. And, oh man, we just went, and that little girl went, Rebecca, you're in the happiest place on earth. Lose the face, get happy, let's go. That's kind of like those angels. Lose the face, Mary. This is the happiest news on earth. You should be rejoicing. Man, you know, we have the 3 wise men here this morning. They're singing their song. And I don't know where you are with Christ or if you even know Jesus. But you might say, well, I don't know. Those were really fun songs, but after all, we're in a church. What does that mean? Well, this should be like the morgue? Should we not be the most joyous people on earth? Well, Pastor Jack, don't you know what's going on in the world? I know full well what's going on in the earth. That's why God is more sweet and dear to me this morning than he was yesterday morning. And he's going to be more dear and sweet to me tomorrow morning than he is today. Glory to glory, says the Bible. Do you know him like that? Are you growing more and more in love with who he is? Are you embracing the fact that the tomb is empty today, that Christ has risen from the dead? It's the greatest news on earth. Why tiptoe around this world any longer? Hey, if some wacko can fly a plane into a building, why can't we walk down the street and say, God is good and loving and Jesus is risen from the dead? What's wrong with us? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to look like a jerk, you know. We already look like jerks. Peter Marshall said, if we do not stand for something, we'll fall for anything. What a great truth that is. We need to stand for Christ. Here's the great thing. He gives us the power to stand. And it all begins based upon the power of the fact that the same Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us up also. Man, that's good news. Wonderful news. In verse 13, it says, then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? There's going to be a great contrast to what Jesus has to say. It's beautiful. It's powerful. Look at verses 14 and 15. We have reasons to be emotional. We can't come down on Mary too hard, right? She's weeping, crying. Who knows how long she'd been crying? Was it all weekend long? Come on. The disciples thought Jesus was dead. Maybe her eyes are all puffy and swollen. I don't know. But she's weeping, and the word in the Greek here is she's wailing. She's not going, she's wailing. It's a loud word for Greek. She's wailing loudly, out of control, crying. Angels saying, why are you weeping? Well, listen, we have reasons to be emotional in this life. Emotions aren't bad. Verse 14, then when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, listen, woman, why are you weeping? Same thing as the angels, right? Same question. Angel said, why are you weeping? She's crying. She turns to them and says, because they've taken away the body of my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. She turns back away. She looks away. Then Jesus appears. She doesn't know it's Jesus. We'll see why in a moment. And he says, woman, why are you weeping? I don't know what she's thinking. Have you ever been emotional? Look, I just said why I'm weeping. Don't make fun of me. I'm in my pain. Woman, why are you weeping? Listen, whom are you seeking? Oh, I love it. Underline that. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Jesus is implying here, if not shouting it, woman, your weeping, whatever emotional reason it is in direct connection to whom are you seeking. You get that, people? Huh? Do you get it? Your weeping is in association with whom you're seeking. Are you weeping because this world hasn't delivered to you the goods that you wanted? Whom or what are you seeking? What standard have you placed upon your life? This will be my pot of gold. What is your target in life? What is your dream? Whatever your dream is, Jesus put it this way, wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart's going to be. My heart was broken this week to hear how there are thousands of people in America right now, elderly people, who put, and it's so sad, I mean, we can step back and say, don't, you shouldn't have done that, but they put their retirement, their life into Enron, and it's gone. It's gone. They were hoping, but they put all their eggs, so to speak, in one basket, and now it's gone. They're waking up this morning. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? A man, a woman, having provided for their home all their lives. Now they wake up. Grandma and grandpa's broke. There'll be no Christmas this year, kids. As a man, how does that make you feel? Many men put the gun to their head at times like that. They've lost all hope. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Jesus is saying, Mary, the very connection of your weeping is in association with whom you're seeking. Mary, he's going to be telling her soon. It's okay. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." This is emotion speaking, and I love it. Now listen, are you analytical? Gardener, where did you take him? Wherever you've taken him, give me a map. I'll get some help. We'll figure out his general weight, get a cart, a couple of donkeys. I'll get a few guys to lift him, and we'll take him away. Just tell me where you've laid them. Don't you love Mary? This is the way our heart should be. Tell us where you put him. Tell me where you put him. I'll go. I'll take him away myself. Mary, how are you going to pick him up? No pun intended, but Mary, if you could, and if he was there, it's dead weight. It's heavy, Mary. How are you going to pick him up? But isn't that beautiful, emotion speaking? Emotions are awesome, and they're also horrible. Aren't they? So far, Mary has been ripped off by her emotions. Remember, she comes to the tomb. Ah, he's gone. She didn't even look inside. He's gone. She goes back and tells Peter and John, he's gone. Emotion speaking. But those same emotions that were her attacker now become her strength. She says, listen, tell me where you've laid him. I'll pick him up and carry him myself. The adrenaline, I'm not thinking about. My little female structure, I'm not even giving consideration to. I'll carry him. Emotions. Emotions can be wonderful. They're accents. I read that emotions under the control of God in our lives should be wonderful accents to life. Isn't that true? Beautiful things. You know, some people might say, well, you're too emotional. Some people say, well, you're so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. You ever heard that? People have been saying that for 100 years. You're so heavenly minded. You know, you're quoting Bible. You know, you're talking about God all the time. You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I have never met anyone who is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. The problem is we're so earthly minded, we're often no heavenly good.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is just part of the sub-series by that title, which means that we'll pick up with more on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, if you'd like to hear the study once again, it's quite easy to do so. Simply pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And you'll be able to hear this study again, as well as past studies, and become a podcast subscriber, all at no charge. That's www.realradioactive.org. If you prefer to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. You know, if you've been listening to Real Radio for quite a while now, and you've really enjoyed the program and benefited from it, we'd like to hear from you. Even if you're not able to contribute financially, we'd still like to be encouraged by what you've learned and how you've grown in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ because of this broadcast. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and share your thoughts. You can also visit our website and read what others have written in. realradioactive.org. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. Once again, area code 909-393-7100. And of course, if you missed any of that contact information, you can find it all at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.